Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you facing overwhelming circumstances or bearing up under a very difficult burden? There's one thing that is guaranteed to change your perspective. That is when you turn your eyes upon Jesus. Next on Daily in the Word, we're going to consider Christ with Dr. Paul Chappell. Stay with us. Life has a different perspective when we keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything falls into place under His preeminence and supremacy in our lives. And when He's not in our focus, everything seems to come unraveled. Welcome to Daily in the Word. I'm Kerry Schmidt, your host, and this program features the teaching and the preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell. Today we're going to consider Christ. In a new series, we're going to, over the next several days, take our eyes off of the circumstances and place them back on the Savior. And we believe this series will greatly encourage your heart as you look unto Jesus and consider Him anew and afresh. Before we begin, I want to invite you to visit us at dailyintheword.org. And be sure to look at Dr. Chappell's new book, In Desert Places. We're so excited about this book, and already the initial feedback of folks who have read it, they've been very encouraged. What happens when unlikely people in unlikely places encounter the presence of God in desert places? You'll find out more information at dailyintheword.org. It's also available for the Kindle at amazon.com. Our first message in this series is simply entitled, Consider Christ. We're looking at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Here's Pastor Chappell.
His will into your life, His image is becoming your life and mine as we grow in the new year. How many of you have ever seen that bumper sticker that says, be patient with me, God is not finished yet? Have you ever seen that one? How many of you would recognize and would readily admit with me this morning, God is not finished with me yet? God is not finished with me yet. There's not a person here today that has arrived spiritually. Ruth Bell Graham, several months before her passing, she was speaking to a group of ladies, and she said to the ladies in her devotional time, she said, I saw a sign on the side of the highway the other day, and I have asked that they would take these words and place them on my gravestone. And here were the words, end of construction, thank you for your patience. End of construction, thank you for your patience. Someone says, well, I know some Christians that don't act very Christian-like. And someone says, I know a church member that isn't what they should be. And someone says, well, I know some people that just, they disappoint me sometimes. Well, I've got news for all of you. The fact is that Jesus Christ is still working, and someone may be rebellious. God has a way of chastising. He's not finished with His work. God will keep working in someone's life through various different ways because He is not only the author, He is the author and He is the finisher of our faith. And so we must consider His position. He's the preeminent one. He is the perfect one. Notice secondly, if you would with me, His pattern. Consider His pattern. To consider the pattern of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might emulate and follow His pattern in our own personal lives. I want you to see this, if you would, back in our text, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2 once again. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him, notice this phrase, endured the cross. Would you say those words with me, please? Endured the cross. Once again, endured the cross. This is the pattern of Jesus Christ. He endured the cross. He despised the shame. Notice in verse number 3, for consider him that endured the contradiction of sinners. Now, as we study the pattern of Jesus Christ, we begin to sense immediately that he had great victory over temptation. I want you to know that Jesus Christ is our pattern for victory over temptation. Many of you have set goals for the new year. Some of you have set Bible reading goals and goals to bring you closer to the Savior. And the minute you do that, the devil wants to fight against you. He wants to push you away from reaching those goals. Well, Jesus Christ certainly saw the joy that was before him. He had a goal. We'll talk about that in a moment. But between the beginning of his earthly ministry and the completing of the work of redemption, he had to endure certain things. My friend, from the day you became a Christian until the day you see Jesus Christ, there will be certain things you must endure. And yet the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is our perfect pattern if we will have victory. Now we find a great synopsis of this pattern in Matthew chapter 4. I invite you to turn there or to look in your notes at Matthew chapter 4. Because in Matthew 4, Jesus not only demonstrated that he could not sin, but he also shows us that he is the pattern for us if we will overcome trials and temptations. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1 says, then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and seeth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Now here we see the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want you to mark down, and mark it down this morning, if Satan had the audacity, if Satan had the nerve, if you will, to come against the Holy Son of God and to endeavor to cause Jesus Christ to worship him, I'm telling you, my friend, Satan will fight you in the new year. And we must follow the pattern of Jesus if we'll have victory. I want every single adult to hear this morning. I want every married couple to hear this morning. There are three ways you will overcome the temptation of Satan. There are three ways that you will have victory in the new year. And they're in your notes, and I want you to look at these this morning and see them from the Bible, if you will, please. Notice, first of all, Jesus was led by the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 that Jesus Christ was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Now, if you have been born again, then you have received the Holy Spirit of God. You have been born again by the Spirit. And as Jesus was led by the Spirit, so we too must be led by the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we would consider Christ, we must be led of the Spirit. Watch this. He will always direct you to the will of Jesus Christ. He will always cause you to consider what Christ would have you to do. Notice number 2 in your notes. Jesus Christ was not only led by the Spirit, but Jesus Christ prayed and fasted. In verse number 2, it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Someone said, but wasn't he weak in his physical body? Without exception, he was 100% man. He was weak in his physical body. But was he powerful beyond the fact that he was the Son of God? Was there a closeness to the Father? Was there a great strength spiritually in his life from prayer and fasting? Without question, there was. For the Bible is very clear that there are certain miracles and certain power that comes about by prayer and by fasting. I heard of a pastor who was going to fast for a period of time and pray. And his daughter was worried that she did not want the family to do that. They found out later what it boiled down to. Her name was Gina. Gina was only 5, but she had figured out that fasting meant no eating. And she liked to eat. And she said, Dad, I don't want you to fast. Let's not do this. And he said, but sweetheart, there are many people in the Bible that fasted. She said, but Dad, she said, I don't want to fast. She said, Dad, if you fast, you'll die. We have to eat food. He said, honey, there are many people in the Bible who fasted. And they prayed and fasted. And Gina thought about it for a moment. She said, yeah, but Dad, they died. Now, folks, I don't recommend that you fast to the point of putting yourself in physical harm's way. But this past Wednesday night, I preached a full message on fasting. And we learned in Matthew 17 and verse 21, Jesus said, howbeit, this kind cometh about only by prayer and by fasting. There are certain answers to prayer that only come when we come to the Lord earnestly. When we say, Lord, more than I want this, I want you. More than I desire this, I desire you. And all that we would understand Christian fasting, really at the root of it, is the hunger for God. It is a homesickness for God. It is saying, God, more than anything, I want to be close to you. Jesus Christ was full of the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. Jesus Christ was praying and fasting. But notice the third and most important key for us today, and that is he quoted the Scriptures. Jesus Christ, when he was tempted, quoted the Scriptures. The Bible says in Matthew 4:3, when the tempter said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. But he answered and said unto him, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, as Satan tempted the Lord Jesus, Jesus quoted the word of God back to Satan. Now, let me help you this morning understand there is no victory over sin without the power of the sword of the Spirit, without the power of the Word of God. When we're helping folks overcome their addictions and their problems, and when we're trying to help someone overcome anger or alcohol or lust or whatever the case might be, we always recommend several Bible verses. Many times we write them on a 3x5 card. We place them in our pocket. Someone else places them in their pocket, and they begin to read the Scriptures. And when the temptation comes, we challenge you to quote the Scripture and to turn away from the temptation. Why? The Bible says in Psalm 119 verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Psalm 119 and verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. My friend, help yourself this year and get filled up with the word of God. His victory over temptation came as he quoted the Scriptures back to Satan. Now, if you would notice then, his victory is not only over temptation, but Jesus Christ, as our pattern, had victory over the trials of this life. Notice this, if you would, in verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. For consider him that endured contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Now, notice the phrase again. He endured the contradiction of sinners. Now, please try to catch this very important truth. There are times in our lives when the process of enduring is the very work of God that purifies our faith. You see, I don't like what I'm going through right now. God may be putting you through this to strengthen you. See, I don't like some of these situations I'm in. The fact that you will endure will be God's way of bringing you to maturity. Notice, if you would, in James chapter 1 and verse number 2 in your notes. Look here, young people, look at this. James chapter 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. This means the trials. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, my friend, God wants us to endure as Jesus endured. Consider him who endured. You say, well, I'm going through some trials. I'm going to quit on my marriage. I'm going to quit on my church attendance. I'm just sick and tired of this. I'm going to go somewhere else and do what I want to do. You're going to miss the lesson that God is trying to bring into your life. I'm not an expert on domestic chores. But I do know a little bit about getting some things done. And I know that a washing machine has at least two or three or four cycles that it must go through in order to complete the job. And I know that in my life in the past, there have been some times when I just felt like I didn't have time to wait on the washing machine. I had to get some things taken care of. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And there have been a time or two when I looked down in and there had already been some water in there and then some soap and then it spun around. And normally it has to go through the final process of maybe rinsing and then spinning again. But On occasion or two, I have taken some articles out of the washing machine while they still were filled with soap. I have thrown them into the dryer. I have rapidly thrown them on my body, gone off to my day, and that's when the rash broke out. Because little crunchy pieces of Tide on your body is not the prescription for a real comfortable day. And so the fact of the matter is that I've had some difficulty in my life because I have rushed the washing machine. Listen to me. Don't rush God's washing machine. Let patience have its complete work. Let God do His work in you. And I challenge you and encourage you this morning, endure as you consider Christ. But notice finally this morning, not only will we consider His position, not only will we consider His pattern, but I want you to notice thirdly, we must consider His passion. We must consider His passion. Notice if you would in verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Please notice this. Who for the joy that was set before Him. Now, I want you to realize, my friend, there was nothing that was attractive about an earthly ministry to Jesus Christ. To leave heaven's glory was not attractive. There was nothing about the cross that was attractive. It was painful. It would be a great difficulty and a great sorrow to Jesus Christ to bear the sins of the world. But there was something in Him that was a greater passion. And the greater passion was that He might bring glory to His Father. And so for the joy that was set before Him, He endured the cross. And the great joy that was set before Him was that He would bring glory to the Father. Notice in your notes, John 17, 1. These words spake Jesus and lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son also may glorify Thee. Notice if you would in verse 5 of the same chapter. O now, O Father, glorify Thou me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was. We see this morning that Jesus Christ had a great passion, and that passion was that He might glorify the Father. And I challenge you in the new year that you would share the passion of Jesus Christ, that your life and mine, that this local church would bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. But His passion was not merely to glorify the Father. His passion then transcended to all of us. And His passion was secondly to redeem the world from their sin. For the Bible says something that is very interesting in this verse. Verse 2. Who for the joy that was, notice the phrase, set before Him. The words here, set before Him, teach us that He was appointed to this. It was His purpose to fulfill. The Lord Jesus Christ was to redeem the world. And in eternity past, God the Father and God the Son had a plan that was set into motion. And it was a plan of love so that every sinner could be forgiven, so that every person could have the hope of salvation. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2 says, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God through the sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. God in His foreknowledge shared a plan. The Lord Jesus Christ willingly carried out the plan, and Jesus, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross. My friend, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Jesus was born of a virgin. Jesus lived a perfectly sinless life. Jesus, according to the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, died for our sin, rose again on the third day. He is seated now at the right hand of God the Father. And when the appointed time is come, the trump of God will sound. The dead in Christ will rise first. We which are alive and remain will join them in the air. And forever we will sing the praises of Almighty God. Do you understand this morning? Nothing happens by accident with God. Has it ever occurred to you that nothing has ever occurred to God? And it was for the joy that was set before Him. It was God's will that Jesus would come. It was God's will that He would bring glory to the Father. My friend, I believe it's God's will that you would be saved today, for He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Oh, in his foreknowledge, he knows who will be saved. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, he has saved us and called us with an holy calling. Oh, friend, today, will you come to him? When I was a young boy in Sunday school, I used to love hearing the different stories. And our teachers would come with different pictures and flannel graph and puppets to try to keep our attention. And I remember one of my favorite stories that I heard as maybe a primary junior boy was the story they called The Boat Owned Twice. And the teacher would always talk about the boat, and she'd tell us about a little boy by the name of Tommy who lived in the Bay Area. He made a boat. He painted it himself. It had all kinds of nice colors to it. In my mind, it was the most beautiful toy a boy could ever have. And Tommy liked to go out, and he liked to put that boat in a pond or even in a large puddle. Any body of water was just fine, and he liked to watch the boat as it would float, and he would sometimes take it to a creek, and he'd place the boat inside the creek, and he'd let the waters take it down maybe 30 or 40 yards. He'd watch his boat going down, and one day he was playing at the creek, and oh, he was having fun. His boat, it was just doing great, going right down the creek. Then he'd grab it and run back again. Unbeknownst to him, though, there was a storm coming in like we've had these past few days. And all of a sudden, upstream, there was a mighty torrential downpour. And I mean, that creek, in just a matter of moments, just quadrupled in size. Tommy was playing along with his little boat, and he turned over shoulder, and he saw the rush of the water, and he tried to rush and capture the boat, but it was too late. The waters took that little boat and took them out to a place he'd tried and tried to find it. He never could find it. Oh, he was so sad. He went home, he told his mom, and she cried with him. She said, "I'm sorry, son. I'm so sorry." Well, some days later, he was walking down by the seashore, and he was walking along, his head was hanging down, he was thinking about his boat, and he looked up into a window and sort of a secondhand gift store there. He thought he saw something familiar. He stopped. Sure enough, it was his boat. He went inside, and he said, Mister, that's my boat. He said, "I crafted it. I painted it." He said, "I made it." He said, "That's my boat. Can I have it back?" The man said, "Well, son, I'm sorry to tell you that you'll have to pay for the boat." He said, "I have no way of knowing that that's your boat." He said, "The cost is $1. Well, the young fellow went home and he said to his mom, "Mom, I found the boat, but I have to pay for it." He had a few coins and his mom gave him some chores to do, and he finally got enough money, got the dollar. He went back to the store, he put the dollar down on the counter. He said, "I'm here to buy my boat." And the man went over and gave him the boat. Boy, he put that boat in his arms, and he was so happy to have it back. He looked at it, cradled it like a little baby. And on the way out of the store, as he was walking through the door, he was heard to say these words as he looked at the boat: "Now you're mine twice. Once because I made you, and twice because I bought you. Once because I made you, and twice because I bought you." My friend, make no mistake about the fact God made you. And make no mistake about the fact, the passion of Jesus Christ was to glorify the Father and to shed His blood that He might purchase you. And you may be His once today, but I pray that you're His twice. I pray that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I pray that if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, that this morning would be that day in your life when you would say, "Jesus, I am a sinner. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior." Considering Christ, consider His position high and lifted up. Consider His pattern as the best pattern to follow in the new year. And consider His passion to glorify the Father and His passion to redeem your soul. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, thank you for this time this morning to be in this place with these dear people and to consider Christ. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would help each and every one of us to consider not only your wonderful position as the preeminent one, but also your pattern for overcoming trials and temptations. Father, may we also consider your passion, the fact that we should live to glorify you and to tell others your good news.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, the daily teaching and preaching ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. Our current series is entitled Consider Christ. All of it can be listened to online at dailyintheword.org, and I encourage you to subscribe to the Daily in the Word podcast and take our program with you on your computer or iPod to listen to at your convenience. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. We're also very excited to announce the arrival of Dr. Chappell's newest book. It's entitled In Desert Places, What Happens When Unlikely People in Unlikely Places Encounter the Presence of God. This is a 200-page hardback book, a beautiful book, and a very encouraging book about what God does in the desert experiences of our lives. You can find more information about it at dailyintheword.org or at amazon.com. You'll find all of the Striving Together Publications books now available for the Kindle. I would encourage you to visit amazon.com and just do a search for Striving Together Publications. You'll find all of the resources that we've made available in book form available now for the Kindle. I hope you'll take advantage of this and perhaps tell a friend as well. We sure would like to hear from you. The easiest way to get a hold of us and let us know what God is doing in your life through Daily in the Word is to visit us online at dailyintheword.org and click on the Contact Us link and send us an email. Another easy way is to simply call toll-free 1-800-201-7748. Again, 1-800-201-7748. Finally, you could send us a letter to Daily in the Word, 4020 East Lancaster Boulevard, Lancaster, California, 93535. Thanks so much for being a part of today's edition of Daily in the Word, and until next time, have a great day.